that I'd like to speak on this morning. And it's a famous passage of Scripture. You've probably read this at some point in your life. And it's a very simplistic portion of Scripture. You know, there was an ad years ago for paint, I think it was, and it says, it does what it says on the tin, you know. And that's what this is. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. And the heading of the passage of Scripture is called Effective Prayer. And these are the words of Jesus. It is Jesus who is speaking. And he says these words. He says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? This morning, I'd like to open up this morning's talk or sermon or message, whatever you want to call it, by talking about prayer. Because the heading of the passage of Scripture says effective prayer. And sure, if you just took that alone, what Jesus is saying is that if you want to be effective in your prayer life, sure, do some of those things. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And I suppose the very fact that the heading of the passage of Scripture is called effective prayer, if you didn't do those things, maybe you could be ineffective in that sense as well. But he's talking about prayer. And if I was to say to you, ah, sure, how's your prayer life? You often hear that expression in churches, don't you? Your prayer life. And if somebody asked me, Alan, how's your prayer life? They're assuming that Alan has a life and a lifestyle of prayer, that prayer is part of my life and it's part of my lifestyle. And so if I said that to you, I would probably be assuming the same, that you have a relationship with God and that part of that relationship with God is that you pray. That's who you are. It's what you do as a believer, as a follower of God. And so that's what prayer is, really, isn't it? It's communication. It's like I'm talking to you and you're listening to me, and at the same time you're talking to me and I'm listening to you. And so there is this communication between God's people, that's you and me, that we're communicating with God, and that's called prayer. That's what prayer is. It's a lovely gift, isn't it? You know, it's a gift that we treasure. Do you treasure your prayer life or the gift of prayer or the very fact that you can pray and you are praying? Ah, sure, it's a wonderful gift. Effective prayer. And so, you know, in the Gospels, one of the disciples, he came to Jesus one day and he says, hey, will you teach me how to pray? And you remember what Jesus said to him, didn't he? Jesus says, this is how you pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that was the prayer of Jesus. That's what he was teaching his disciples when they asked him, teach us how to pray. So if you wanted to know how to pray, there's a good starting point. Start with the Our Father. And you know something as well? I don't know about you, but in terms of our prayer lives, there is the ideal versus the reality. Have you ever experienced that? Now, I'm talking about myself. The ideal is, Alan spends quality time in the presence of God, and during that time of devotion, Alan is praying. He's praying his heart out. He's praying for everybody. With that ideal where we are effective in prayer, we are constantly in prayer, versus the reality. The reality is life is busy, and so you pray on the move. Have you ever prayed on the move? You're in the car, and you're traveling down, and you don't get road rage, because God's people don't get road rage, don't they not? No, but you're praying in the car, or you're praying while you're walking, or you're praying while you're doing some different activities. Sometimes, in terms of our prayer or life, we have the ideal of what we're aiming for or striving to achieve versus the reality of life. But yet what we know is that prayer is precious. Prayer is beautiful. And then the other thing as well is that people have different experiences when they're praying. Like, for instance, have you ever prayed with some other people, like at a prayer meeting or something like that, and somebody will begin to pray, and then you kind of catch it. It's like it's contagious, that you pick up on what they're praying for, and you begin to join them in prayer for the thing that they're praying for, or the person that they're praying for, and then the two of you are moving in this vehicle of prayer where the Holy Spirit is leading you down some different avenues, and you may have went to the prayer meeting with no intention of praying for the very thing that you're praying for, but what's happening is that sometimes when we are gathered with God's people in prayer, that the Holy Spirit will lead us or carry us down different avenues. You'll begin to pray for people that you hadn't got an intention to pray for, but God is laying them on your heart or a particular situation. Have you ever experienced that? Be open to the leading of God's Spirit when you're in prayer. Yes, you have your own needs, and yes, you have your own wants, but also be open to following the Holy Spirit as you pray, because he will lay things on your heart. And that brings a nourishment in our own relationship with God. And then the pendulum swings the other way. Have you ever experienced where you want to pray and it's just like, you feel like you're talking to the wall. You feel like the heavens are as brass. You feel like, yes, I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to get into that zone in my mind and in my heart, but it's just I don't know what's happening. There's almost like a blockage, or, you know, it's just not working for me. Have you ever experienced that? It's like, I don't even know if you're listening to me, but I'm trying. You're trying to make it work. They're the experiences that we have. If somebody was to say to me, Alan, what's your tips in terms of a prayer life? These are the three things I'd say to them. Number one, you've got to want it. Sure, you won't have something if you don't want it. So if you want a strong prayer life, you've got to desire it. You've got to want it in your relationship with God. That's number one. Once you want it, then you can develop it. Then you can kind of work on it and bring yourself into God's presence. And I suppose apples take time to grow, don't they? And oranges take time to grow. And it's a bit like that with prayer, is that to have a strong prayer life, it takes time to develop that life or that lifestyle of prayer, something that you have a rhythm for yourself. So wanting it, developing it. And then the last one is kind of maintaining it. And that's the hard part, isn't it? Maintaining what you already have. Because the reality is, sometimes it fades, doesn't it? Doesn't that happen where we have a relationship with God, we have a prayer life with God, and in some seasons of our lives it's strong, and then other times it fades, and it might fade just simply because of the busyness of life, but then you want to get back into that zone of your life where you want to maintain the strength and the nourishment of a good prayer life. And then there are some battles. Have you ever experienced the battles of prayer? Here's three of them for you. The first battle that you may experience in terms of your own prayer life is the distractions and the disruptions that prevent you from having the prayer. Especially if you're a family person, you may say to yourself, right, I'm going to go and have a time of prayer, but there's noise in the house. The children are playing, or your phone is beeping with notifications, the distractions and the disruptions that prevent us from getting into that place of prayer. And we all have to manage and cope with the distractions or the disruptions that would seek to prevent us from having a nourishing prayer life. And then there is the battle of repetition. Has this ever happened to you, where you've had a time with God and you feel like you're saying the same thing? Has that ever happened to you? You think, I said those words yesterday, but I don't want to be repeating myself. Lord, am I repeating myself? It's kind of saying the same thing. And Jesus talks about this. He talks about kind of don't babble on, but just try and be focused in terms of your prayer life. And sometimes there is the battle of repetition. And then there is the battle of not knowing what to say. Has that ever happened to you, where you've brought yourself to the Lord in prayer and you think, I don't know how to word it. I don't know what to say. But can I assure you this morning that any time spent in God, whether it's in God's presence, whether you are verbal, that God can hear you, or you're just quiet, is not in vain. Is that you'll always have a nourishment in your heart as you bring yourself to the Lord. So there is the battle of distractions and disruptions. There's the battle of repetition. And then there's also the battle of the mind. Is that you bring yourself into a time of prayer, but your mind is just not there. Your mind is fixed on other things. Your mind is thinking about other things when you're trying to be focused. Sure. These things are real, aren't they? The battles that we face as we develop a prayer life. Now, I want to show you something else that I've seen in this particular passage of Scripture. And this is that Jesus is talking about prayer and an effective prayer life. But there's some other things that he mentions in this portion of Scripture. And he mentions in verse 9, parents. He mentions parents. And he also mentions in verse 9, your children. And then later on, he mentions your Heavenly Father. So what you've got going on in this passage of Scripture is an effective prayer life. Do some of these things. He also mentions a parent and a child and the relationship between a parent and a child. And he also mentions our Heavenly Father. And I found myself thinking, in the relationship between a parent and a child, have I ever seen somebody within that relationship, either the parent or the child, keep on asking, keep on seeking? And I thought to myself, yes, I have. And I'm going to share it with you now. I've seen this. Have you ever seen this before? A pestering child. I am sure you've seen a pestering child before. Maybe you've been the pestering child. But do you know what a pestering child is? A pestering child is a child that just keeps on asking. They are bringing themselves to their parent and they just won't stop. They know what they want and they're telling their parent what they want. And I thought to myself, yes, I've seen this before. And so here are the behavior or the characteristics of a pestering child. I want to read some of these things out to you this morning because I hope that they're going to encourage your heart. A pestering child, they know what they want, don't they? Don't they know what they want? They know exactly what they want and their minds are fixed on what they want and there is no getting them away from what they want. Isn't that true with a pestering child? Because a pestering child, they bring themselves to the parent and they say, I want this, I want it, I want it, and I want it now. That's what a pestering child does. Have you ever noticed that a pestering child will cry out? Because they will begin to cry, the tears will run down their faces, they will be crying out for what they want, just like that little child in the picture. He's like, I want it now, and so he wants it so much that he may cry out, even with tears running down their face. Have you ever noticed that a pestering child will stamp their feet? They will stamp their feet, they'll fold their arms, they may even clench their hands together and say, I want, I want, I want. They'll just keep on asking, they'll just keep on seeking whatever it is that they want. A pestering child, they won't give up. No, 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 they're in it for the long game. They're saying, I'm not moving, I'm not going anywhere until you give me what I want. A pestering child is immovable. They'll stand their ground. They're quite defiant or strong-willed. They're clearly focused, and they will trouble their parent until they get what they want. A pestering child. Have you ever seen this in the life of a young child? And sometimes they'll annoy their parents. They will. They'll just nag at their dad. They'll nag at their mother. And they'll just keep on asking. They will refuse to stop seeking. They will refuse to stop until they get what they want. A pestering child. They keep on asking. They keep on seeking. They keep on knocking upon the door of the parent's heart until they get what they want. And have you ever noticed that a pestering child is always there? They won't go. They'll stay within the presence of the parent. They just won't go away. Every step that a parent makes, every time the parent looks around, the child is there. The child won't go to other places because the child knows what they want, and they won't leave their parent's presence until they get what they want. Do you know something, friends? You already know this, is that you are a child of God. And as a child of God, we've got to be a little like a pestering child in terms of our prayer life. You've got to keep on asking your Heavenly Father for what you want. You've got to keep on seeking your Heavenly Father for what you desire. You've got to keep on knocking upon heaven's door and upon the door of his heart until you seek what you've been looking for. Keep on asking, Jesus says. Keep on seeking, Jesus says. Keep on knocking upon heaven's door in prayer until you receive what it is you're looking for. And like a pestering child, we too, we've got to cry out. We've got to cry out to God in holy prayer and ask him for what it is that we need and seek him for what the things that we're looking for in our lives and in the lives of those that we love. Don't be afraid to cry out, even if it brings tears down your face. Continually cry out in prayer. Continually and consistently cry out to your Heavenly Father who loves you. And don't give up, because a pestering child doesn't give up. They will not leave their parents' presence until they find what it is that they are looking for. And so you and me, we are like children of God. Don't refuse to leave your Father's presence until you know that you've met with him in a very real and a very special way. And like a pestering child that folds their arms, let's take our stance in prayer. Let's stand our ground in prayer. Let's not give up easily. Let's be strong-willed by seeking his love and his presence and his will in our lives and in the life of this church and in the life of your family. Take your stance in prayer. Be focused. Don't be babbling on, but just stand in prayer in God, your loving Heavenly Father's presence. And don't refuse to leave his presence. Don't give up until you know that you've met with him, until you know that you've received his love into your heart or what it is that he has for you. And like a pestering child, don't go away. Stay in your Father's presence. Stay and seek that which is on your heart. Ask for what you want. Seek his will. Seek his love. Seek what it is that you want in your life and in the life of your family. And that's a little bit like us. Don't give up asking. Don't give up seeking. Don't give up knocking upon heaven's door like a little child that is annoying its parent, that's pulling upon the parent's apron strings. Us in prayer, let us be like that child, because you are a child of God. And so therefore, like a child of God, you can come into your Father's presence and you can keep on asking that which you want. You can look to him and say, Lord, I need this in my life. I need it in my family's life. I need you to show up and do something in my life. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking upon the door of his heart, because his heart is towards you. And Jesus reassures in the passage of Scripture. He says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask you for a fish, do you not give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, your heavenly Father knows you, because you're his child. And so therefore, when you bring your desires and your prayers to him, he already knows what you're going to ask for, because he knows you. And he knows all about you. And so therefore, he knows what to give you. He knows what's helpful for you. He knows what's good for you. He won't give you something that will harm you. He'll always be looking out for your good. So therefore, we can be confident in coming to our Father who loves us, because he knows you, because you are his child. You are the one that belongs to him. And so therefore, his eye is always on you. He hasn't forgotten about you. You're on his heart. You're in his hands, because you are the children of God. Somebody in Scripture, I think it was the Apostle John, says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we shall be called children of God. And that is what you are. You are a child of God. And because you're a child of God, that means you've got a relationship with God your Father, where he invites you to come into his presence. And let's remember the words of Jesus, that like a little child, that we can ask and we can seek and we can knock upon heaven's door for the things that we desire, for the things that we need. And we know that God loves us. We know that he knows us. And we know that whatever he does for us, or whatever it is that he gives to us, will always be for our good. And so as I was thinking about that passage of Scripture this morning and during the week, yes, it's about prayer. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking in your prayer life. But like little children, like a pestering child that won't give up, that won't go away, won't take no for an answer, let us be like those little child, those little children that bring ourselves to our Heavenly Father. And we say, I'm not giving up. I'm not leaving your presence until I get what I'm looking for. I'm just going to keep on asking until you say something, until you do something, like a little pestering child. I'm going nowhere, Daddy. I'm staying here. You're not getting rid of me easily, because I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on. And it reminds me of a little pestering child. The power of a pestering child in prayer. That's what that passage of Scripture should be called, that we are encouraged in our prayer lives to keep on asking and to keep on seeking. And so this morning, you have a Father that loves you. This morning, I want to encourage you in your faith not to give up. Take the words of Jesus on board and do what he says. Don't give up. If you've got something in your life that you've been praying about for a long time and you are tempted to just say, throw the towel in and say, I've been asking for this for a long time. It looks like I'm getting nowhere. Jesus is saying, don't give up. Just keep on. Keep on pressing through. Keep on pushing through in terms of your prayer life. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Like a little child that brings themselves to their loving parent, that won't go away, won't give up. They're strong-willed. Be like that in prayer. And maybe it is that you do have something in your heart that you're asking God for. Maybe it is that you've thought to yourself, has he heard me? Yes, he has. God hears your prayers. God not only hears your prayers, but he knows what's in your heart. So he sees you, he knows you, he hears you, and he is watching over your life. And so in your relationship with God and in your relationship with prayer, continue. Consistently, don't give up. Don't give on up on bringing what is in your heart or the things that you'd like to see, not only in your life, but in the life of those that you love. Bring them to God. I'm going to ask John to just play a song. And what I'm going to do is that while John is going to finish off the meeting with a song, I'm going to ask you that if you've got something on your heart that you've been praying about for a long time, just to bring it to God this morning and to say, Lord, I'm like a little child that pesters their parent. I'm just going to keep on bringing this to you until I see a change, because I desire that you would have your way. And so while John is getting himself set up, the other thing what I want to do is I want to say a prayer for John and his new job. Will we do that this morning? Lord, we thank you that we are your children and that you see us, you know us, and you love us. And I particularly pray for John this morning that as he seeks your will in terms of new employment, that you will provide for him